Many people are looking to one of the last major pandemics to hit the United States, and that was the Spanish flu outbreak of 1918.
Like COVID-19, the 1918 flu was a crowd disease.
That's Dr. John Higginbotham. He's an associate vice president for research at the University of Alabama.
So it really began to spread when people were really close together.
Right now, healthcare providers and policymakers are still learning about COVID-19 and how it's going to play out. But they're not the only ones with something to say about the coronavirus and how it resembles the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. Jim Baggett is one of them.
The local governments closed theaters, they closed the churches, they closed the schools. Here in Birmingham, they shut down the state fair. Places like soft drink parlors, which were considered especially likely to be infected.
Baggett is the archivist for the Birmingham Public Library. During the 1918 Spanish flu outbreak, there were over 145,000 cases of people being infected, and there were almost 5,500 deaths. It was a respiratory illness, too, and Baggett says it was a rough way to go.
Your lungs shut down and filled up with fluids, and then you drown. People who survived described losing all sense of time, and just some people were sick for weeks who recovered, and some people would die within days.
He says with the Spanish flu, it was difficult to predict where the cases would surge next, something the frontline workers are finding with COVID-19.
Of course, the cities, saw a lot of cases. And then you would have these sort of odd hot spots. Early in October 1918, Shelby County was reporting 4 cases. But then the little town of Pell City in St. Clair County had 200 cases. It was unpredictable in that way.
We also have firsthand accounts of what the 1918 flu was like. Edna Register Boone was 10 years old when the pandemic hit Alabama. She did an interview in 2008, and it's part of the collection of the Alabama Department of Archives and History. Boone described what she had to do.
Mama would put a gauze bandage around my face, and she kept sterilized fruit jars on the stove at all times. And she would fill those jars with soup, and I would take those jars to the home of an afflicted family.
She remembered how many people in her small community didn't make it.
The people were buried in the clothes they died in and wrapped in the sheets. So they were buried in a common grave. I do not remember a single church burial.
Boone said it took a toll on her as a child.
And lots of times I would come in and I would cry because of all the sickness that was around me. And I knew that that sickness was deadly.
And much like the mask Boone wore, Jim Baggett says many of the precautions we're taking today would not be that out of place back in 1918.
Much like today, people were advised as much as possible to stay home. People were advised to wear masks. They understood how this disease was spread, and they understood that people who were infected coughing and sneezing could spread it to others.
Churches today are meeting up through social media, Zoom, or even drive-up services in many cases. They had a version of that back then, too.
One of the what they called churchless Sundays, the Birmingham News turned over 2 full pages of its Sunday edition and ran sermons that pastors would have delivered to their congregations on that Sunday.
Following health guidelines seemed to help the people like Boone and her family make it through the Spanish flu in 1918. Baggett says it helped bring out some of the best in people.
People coming together, maybe not physically coming together. People took care of neighbors. You know, in some cases, whole families would get sick. And especially in rural parts of Alabama, there may only be a handful of doctors in the county. And in some places, the doctors were getting sick.
That did not seem to apply to all of Alabama's past health epidemics. Yellow fever hit along the Gulf Coast on multiple occasions. Tom McGee is the museum director for Bellengrath Garden and Home in Mobile.
If anybody got sick, and it may have absolutely nothing to do with yellow fever, the train would be stopped and that person would be pushed off the train. And he or she could be 30 miles to the next town, and they were left there to fend for themselves.
Some small groups are gathering at state capitals across the country and protesting some of the health and safety measures being implemented by state governments. McGee says this was no exception in the 1800s in Mobile.
The president of our local Board of Health in 1853 was criticized about establishing a quarantine and its effect on business. And he was quoted as saying, quote, commerce brings in nothing but money, and money will not compensate for the loss of our citizens, nor cheer the hearts made desolate by death. So essentially that same argument's going on today.
Mosquitoes carried yellow fever, which killed a tenth of Mobile's population in 1853. People fled the cities in often brutal manners. McGee says an Episcopal minister's diary from the time gives an interesting account.
He was quoted as saying that when the panic struck, social standing, education, and even professed Christianity did nothing to overcome craven selfishness. Panic just took over, and didn't matter who they were. They acted like brutes, whatever. Just they were going to get out of here, knock anybody out of their way to get out of here.
McGee wants to remind everyone of an old adage, but also offers some hope.
I think just the true life of all history, that if you don't know your history, you're going to repeat it. And, you know, we got over all these epidemics for 200 years and moved on, and others followed it, but we're going to survive it.
Dr. John Higginbotham says that we're still not 100% sure what we're up against with COVID-19, and for now, it does not appear to be as vicious as the 1918 flu outbreak.
The death rate for the 1918 flu is far bigger than what we've seen here. And also in the 1918 flu, particularly in the second and third waves, we saw people who were targeted seem to be those 20 to 40-year-olds. Right now with COVID-19, the group that is at most risk are those 65 and over who have chronic disease conditions.
There's a theory that COVID-19 might die off as we continue into the summer months. Higginbotham says if history shows us anything, we might not be out of the woods yet.
In the 1918 flu, we saw three rounds of that. There were three things that bubbled up across about a year and a half's worth of span. Right now, we're only seeing one movement of this disease worldwide. We have yet to see if it's going to calm down and then come back.
There is one thing Jim Baggett hopes that people will take away from the lessons of past pandemics.
It's something that you have to work through, except the fact that there's going to be inconveniences and for some people, some really, really tough economic times.
I'm Stan Ingold, APR News in Tuscaloosa.